Okay. Well, this is our third week talking about the power of Christmas. So I'll just do a quick recap on what we did in the first 2 weeks. So the first week we said Christmas is mighty, and we gave a name for God, which is Jehovah Elohim. And that means the God of power and might. Last week we said God wants a powerful relationship with us. And one of the other names for God or for Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. This week, I want to talk about the fact that God wants us to have a powerful life. Okay, I'm going to start with a scripture that we looked at in one of the previous weeks, and it's in John chapter 1 and verse 1 and 4. Verse 1 says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So Jesus came down at Christmas to bring us life. First of all, it says he was there in heaven with God at the beginning, and he had a different name. He was called the Word, and the Word was with God. So Jesus was with God in the beginning. But then he came down on this earth, and in him was life. He came to bring us life. Now, the Greek word that's used here for life is the word Zoe, like a girl's name, Z-O-E. And Zoe means eternal life, never-ending life, God's kind of life. So when we ask Jesus into our life, he gives us his eternal life, so that we can live with him in heaven forever. Once we've asked Jesus into our heart, he brings eternal life into our lives, and we get to live with him forever. How amazing is that? So this is all about how powerful he is and how he wants to bring us life. And so here's my first revelation today, and it's this: there is no death in Jesus, only life. God only brings the good things. When bad things happen to us, it's not God. He only brings the good things. Bad things are not from a good God. But we must be sure about that, because if we're not, we need to stop right here and give ourselves time to decide, what do we believe about God? Do we believe God is good and the enemy is bad? Or are there days when we get that mixed up and we think the bad stuff happening to us is from God? Then that is simply not true. We need to sit and we need to decide on those days when bad news comes, or we get a test result that we didn't want, or whatever it is we're facing, we need to decide, in the middle of all of that trauma, our God is still good, and he still brings us life, and he wants to bring us life. This is what it says in John 10:10, and I'm sure a lot of you know the scripture. It says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows." Now, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus said these words. He said, there is a thief out there, that's the enemy, and he's the one that comes along with the bad news. He's the one that comes along to steal and to kill and to destroy. That is not me. I have come that you might have life, a powerful experience with God, and not just a mediocre life, not just an average life, but life in abundance, to the full and overflowing, the scripture says. That's amazing. So again, this is confirming. First of all, we heard it in John 1, verse 4, that in him was life. And now we're hearing it in John 10:10. Jesus says about himself that he has come to bring life, and an abundant life. It states clearly in the scripture that it is the enemy who seeks to rob from us, to steal, kill, and destroy, it says. Folks, we can't afford to doubt it. We can't afford to doubt that it's God that's good and it's the enemy that's bad. And not only that, that God is good all the time. All the time. Doubting God just opens the door up to the enemy, and none of us want to do that. None of us would open the door. If your enemy was standing on the doorstep, you know, and they were angry with you and there are a couple of weapons in your in their hand, no one in their right mind would open the door to someone like that. But that's what we're doing when we doubt God in our mind. In our mind, that's where the battle takes place, not on the doorstep usually. In our mind, we're thinking, you know, did God really send this bad thing? I can't understand why this has happened to me. Where is a loving God when this has happened? Well, God didn't send the bad stuff. God is good. We cannot afford to doubt God, or it lets the enemy into our thoughts. If we believe the enemy's lies, he will defeat us every single time. So I want you to say out loud right now, just speak it out loud. God has a good life for me. And you can turn to someone and say, God has a good life for you. But you know, it's up to us to believe it. We can say it, but we also need to believe it. We must believe that Jesus came to earth to bring us a power-filled life. So this scripture is still in John chapter 1, but this is verse 29, and it's John the Baptist talking about Jesus when he sees him as an adult, and he says this about him: "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's a good thing about Jesus. That's a good thing that he did. The Bible says that sin equals death. You know, if we sin, then we're letting death into our lives. But Jesus came to take all of that away. And the Bible also says every one of us has sinned. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has done something wrong. So we all deserve the penalty for that. And the penalty for sin is death, according to the Bible, spiritual death. You know, there are some sins that we might do that might cause us to physically die, but we're dying all the time. We live in a world that's dying, you know. Every day we're closer to that. But we'll also die spiritually to God if we still have sin in our life. But believing in Jesus brings life, and all you need to do is ask him in. So the good news is we don't get what we deserve, because Jesus died in our place. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, in himself, he was sinless. He had no sin in him, but he took our sin on himself. A powerful exchange took place at the cross of Jesus on our behalf. We gave Jesus all our sin and unrighteousness, and he gave us life. Eternal life. And there was an explosion of power when that exchange took place, because Jesus went down to hell itself and he walked into that place, into Hades. He walked into that place of the dead and he walked right up to Satan, and he took back the keys. He took back the power. He took back the authority, and he marched out of there, because death had no power over Jesus. He was sinless. It couldn't hold him. And he walked out of that place and he took all the people that were being held captive with him, and he took them right up to heaven. There's an enormous explosion of power. The power of God came down and annihilated the power of sin and death. The Bible says so much power was released at that exchange that graves opened and dead people walked. People that their family knew, oh, granny died 2 years ago, and here she is walking down the main street in Jerusalem. You know, so much power was released. And God accepted the sacrifice of his sinless son in our place, in my place, in your place. It was enough for God. And the last words that Jesus said on that cross were these three words: "It is finished." Jesus knew it was enough. He knew he'd given the ultimate sacrifice of his own life, and the price was paid in full for all mankind, for every single one of us. Jesus paid for our sins with his life. He took the blame for us. We don't get what we deserve. We get what Jesus deserves, and he was sinless. We don't get death, we get life, and that is powerful. You know, a few years ago, I read a book. Nothing unusual in that. Someone gave me the books. I borrowed it from them, so I apologise that I could not now research the exact title and author and everything. I wouldn't want to get it wrong. But I borrowed the book and I read it and I gave it back. Now, the author of this book, when he was a young boy, was sent to a boarding school in a foreign country. His mum and dad worked abroad and he couldn't be educated where they were working, so they sent him to a boarding school with his brother and sister in another country. But it came out years later that there was an awful lot of abuse going on within the school, and it actually ended up being a court case and everything like that. So this, as a young boy, he was in this boarding school, and a small boy younger than him, so he might have been about 10 or 12 at the time, but this young boy, who was only about 5, did something wrong, and it was a really minor offence, like he stole an apple or something from the food table because he was hungry. It was really, really minor. But the head teacher at the school, the one that was the main abuser to all the children, he was so angry about this. He made every child in the school stand for hours and hours and hours. The children just all stood there. They weren't allowed to sit down. They weren't allowed to move. They had to stand there. It was horrendous. And in the middle of all this, this author, as a young boy, just must have decided, enough is enough. We are not going to stand here for the rest of the day or the night. I'm going to step forward. So this young boy stepped forward. He hadn't done the crime, but he took the punishment for the crime. And whatever that punishment was, being beaten, being whipped with a cane, whatever that punishment was, he took it for the person that had committed the crime. Now, years and years later, it became well known that this school, that abuse had taken place. And they had a victims' reunion in America, I think it was. So they had this victims' reunion, and the author was at the reunion. And a middle-aged man walked up to him and apologised because he'd been the young boy that had committed the crime. And he'd carried the guilt and shame of it for years because he had let someone else take the blame for something that he did. You see, the author took the punishment so the whole school could go free. And he did it willingly. He willingly stepped forward. He just said, enough is enough. I will willingly step forward and end this fiasco. I think God was sitting up in heaven looking down on his creation and all the sin that was taking place. And I think he said, enough is enough. I will end this fiasco. I will end this death that is taking place because of all the sin that's happening. I will end it. And I will come down on earth myself in the form of my son. And I will willingly make the sacrifice for my children to be set free. And that is what Jesus did for us. He willingly took the guilt and the shame and the sin and the punishment. He did it for you and he did it for me and he did it for love. Jesus did not arrive on this earth empty-handed. He brought God's love and forgiveness and acceptance and power and life. He brought life with him. And when we accept Jesus, all of these other gifts are ours too. And there's even more good news. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience the life that God's got for us, to experience a life full of power. Because believing God starts right now. Receiving from God starts now. An abundant life can start for us right now. If you want to unwrap something this Christmas, then unwrap the gift of Jesus Christ. Unwrap his love and forgiveness and life. Unwrap all that God is offering today. Just say a simple prayer of, Father God, I accept you into my life. Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me and I accept you into my life. That is a gift a powerful eternal life gift. Accept his gifts and you'll have more power than you know how to handle. So here's another thing we can unwrap at Christmas or any time of year. When God promised us life, I believe it included healing. Exodus 15, verse 26 says, this is God talking about himself. You want to know what God says? Listen to this scripture because he's talking about himself. I am the Lord who heals you. It's a promise of healing in the Old Testament by God. Now, the Hebrew word here for Lord, I am the Lord, that word is in Hebrew is Jehovah Rophi. And Jehovah Rophi means the Lord who heals you. So there's the clue. And God's saying, I'm it. I'm Jehovah Rophi. And I desire with all my heart to heal you. So when God said in him was life back there in John 1:4, we said in Jesus was life, he meant just that. He meant instead of death, I'll give you life. Instead of sickness, I'll give you healing. And not just when you get to heaven, but right now. I'll give you it right now. See, we're meant to be believing for healing now on this side of heaven. When power was released at the cross, it included the power to heal. That was part of the promise. Let's look at what it says about that. It's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Now, this is the Amplified Bible, so you get extra words to help you understand it. But this is an amazing scripture, so listen to this. Talking about Jesus. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. Wow. This one scripture is a complete summary almost of the power that was released by God through Jesus Christ when he died for us and rose again back to life. It says here that he personally carried our sins and he willingly offered himself in our place so we'd be set free from the penalty. There's no punishment for us if we accept Jesus. Because to get no punishment, you have to accept that Jesus was punished for you. So the minute I accepted that Jesus was punished on the cross for me, I'm exempt from the punishment of God. Because Jesus took it all. Now, there are consequences to sin, and we bring those consequences on ourselves. It's not God beating us with a big stick. You know, if I go out, I get really angry with someone, and I punch them, and they punch me, and we get into a fight, I end up with a black eye or being arrested, then I brought that on myself. So those are the consequences of my sin, of what I've done. But there's no punishment if Jesus is our Lord. Because he's already paid the bill for us. The power of sin and death is broken. And we are made right before God just for the asking. Just for the believing that Jesus did it for us. That he died so we could live. And then the verse goes on to say, he was wounded for us. Well, how was he wounded? Well, back then the Roman soldiers whipped him with what was called the 39 lashes. So it was 39 whips of these leather, long leather whips that had pieces of bone and shell and all sorts of things on the end of them. And it would have ripped the skin off his back. His flesh was hanging off his back. And some people never survived the whipping. They died from the 39 lashes alone. But they wounded Jesus. And then after that, as if that wasn't enough, they then nailed him to the cross, you know, and he died there. And it says, by his wounds, the price has been paid. Because if you look at the words that's used, it says, for by his wounds, you have been healed. Not you might be healed. If you're good enough, you will be healed in the future when you get your act together, Sandra. It's past tense. It's a done deal. God is telling me, Sandra, Jesus paid the price for your healing. You need to start speaking it out. I've made you a commander. You need to start speaking it out. And that is the same for all of us. We are all commanders in God's kingdom, and we are meant to speak it out, and we're meant to see the circumstances change. Folks, this is a life-altering scripture. If we'll just believe it and apply it to our lives, we need to apply it. There's more power in this one verse than we can ever imagine. Not only did Jesus die for our sins, but he was also whipped for our healing. Completely free. It's not even a two-for-one offer, because it's both offers are just free. You get up, it's a bargain. You know, there's very few things that are free these days, but the love of God is free. The forgiveness of God is free. If you don't unwrap anything else this Christmas, unwrap the love of God for your life. Unwrap his forgiveness for anything you've done wrong. So here's my question today. Do you believe it? Are you going to unwrap it? And are you going to speak it over your life? You know, when we feel sick, do we just go, that's it, I'm sick, this is going to take a week or 2 weeks to get over? Or do we say, I'm feeling sick, but I refuse to accept it because by his wounds, I have been healed. You know, when we get those bad test results from the doctor, do we allow them to steamroller us into the ground so we're just flat out on the floor with nothing else to give? Or do we look at those results and say, regardless of what this result says, by his wounds, I have been healed. Past tense, Jesus has paid the price and I am having it. You know, if the doctors say it's bad news, do we repeat the bad news or do we echo the good news? Okay, that's bad news, but I've got good news. By his wounds, I have been healed. There's enough power in that one phrase to change a life, to change our life as we know it. The trouble is, a lot of us aren't aware of the power of God that's already available to us. So here's my next revelation. I want you to think about this. If we're aware of it, we will speak it. If we're not speaking it, we're not aware of it. So which one is it? Are we aware that we have authority in Jesus' name? Are we aware that we are meant to be commanders in his army? Are we aware of that? Folks, don't settle for anything less than the life that God has for us. A full life, an abundant life, an overflowing life. You know, I've heard many people ask God to heal them, but actually they didn't know what power they had. And actually what they were doing was begging God to heal them. Oh God, I'm desperate for you to move. Please move. I know you can move. Then you don't know. If you're praying like that, you don't know that God already moved 2,000 years ago when he willingly sent his son, when his son willingly became the sacrifice and willingly took the punishment for our healing, those 39 lashes. Well, when God moved 2,000 years ago, this is what he did. First of all, he moved from heaven to earth. And then he moved from the stable to the cross. And then he moved from the cross to the grave. And then he won the victory in the grave. And he moved back up to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of the Father because he said, I'm done. It is finished. Job complete. And so it's amazing what God did. It's absolutely amazing. These people that are praying in such a begging kind of way, they don't realize the power to heal that Jesus has already given them. Folks, it's time for us to do our part. It's time for us to release the power that's in us through God's Holy Spirit. So here's another revelation. I think this might be my last one today. It is not offensive to God if we command things to change in Jesus' name. You know, I can remember the first time I actually commanded something to move in Jesus' name, and I almost felt guilty about it. But I'm not doing it in my name. I'm just declaring what Jesus has done, and I'm releasing the power of what he's done. It's nothing to do with me. I couldn't heal a fly, but Jesus can heal everyone and anyone. And so we need to know it's not offensive to God. In fact, God's up in heaven going, come on, you can do it. Rise up. I've made you a commander, not just the preacher. You're a commander. Rise up. The authority is within you. I've put it there. Speak it out in Jesus' name. We need to release the life-giving power Jesus died to give us. I want to pray right now for anyone who's sick. So if you're sick right now, put your hand on that part of your body you know, lay it on your head or your shoulder or whatever. If you can't reach it, if it's way around the back, then just lift it up or lift up that loved one. Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name, and I declare the power of the cross of Jesus. I declare that Jesus has already paid the price for our healing, and that by his wounds we have been healed. God has said yes to the healing, and I'm just going to release your healing power right now. So, Father, we lift up whatever the sicknesses are in our bodies right now for our loved ones. We lift up every infirmity. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind every infirmity represented here, and I break its power right now off people's lives in Jesus' name. I command pain to go. I command swelling and inflammation to go in Jesus' name. Any infection, any virus, I command you to go right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father God, in the name of the power of Jesus, I release the healing power of Almighty God over our lives right now. Right now, I release your power and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. I've got one more scripture today. It's Matthew 16 and verse 19, and it says this: and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is Jesus talking, and God is saying in this scripture that he has given us the keys to his kingdom. You know, this is a treasure, priceless, absolutely priceless, beyond price. And if someone was to say to you, oh, I'll give you £10 million if you'll just give me the keys to how the kingdom of heaven work, you know, take them on. Here's a scripture. There's your answer. Collect your 10 million. This is a priceless treasure from God. It says that whatever you bind and whatever you loose, most of us are sitting waiting on God to do all of the work. We're sitting waiting on God to do what he's told us to do. Most of us are acting like beggars and not commanders. We're not commanding things to move. We're not commanding the situation to change in Jesus' name. You know, God can't answer begging prayers. Oh, if you're in a good mood, God, if you love me, God, oh my goodness, he sacrificed his son for us. How much more does he have to prove that he loves us? Prayers like this show a poor knowledge of God. They show we don't know that he loves us and longs to answer us. Now, God can't answer a prayer if it's not his will. Not going to help me rob a bank just to make me a millionaire. Okay, he won't help us do that. But we need to know it is God's will to heal us. Healing is God's will. That's why he allowed his son to be wounded for us. We need to know it and stop begging for it. Command it. Release the power that God's placed within us. Jesus came so we might have an abundant life, a full and overflowing life. He's not waiting on us begging him. He's waiting on us commanding and using the authority he already gave us. We need to speak his life over our lives. He doesn't respond to us begging. He responds to us declaring, in him is life, and by his wounds I have been healed. Jesus brings life. He brought life the very first Christmas, and it's never left. It's still with us today. But if we want that life, we must start to speak life. Speak it this Christmas and every day after that. Then we'll see the life that God has planned for us. Thank you.